The streets of London in the 1890s were not just crowded, they were catastrophic. London's 300,000 horses produced roughly 3,000 tons of manure every single day. The Times of London ran the numbers and predicted that by 1950, the streets would be buried 9 feet deep in waste. In 1898, the world's first international urban planning conference convened to solve this crisis. Experts from across the globe gathered. They adjourned after just 3 days, not 10, 3, because nobody had an answer. The horse-drawn city had hit a wall, and the wall was made of dung. Now, here is the counterintuitive part, Alina. The automobile was not initially seen as a luxury or a status symbol. It was seen as a clean solution, a green technology. Think of it as the electric vehicle pitch of its era, a machine that would eliminate the biological waste choking the modern city. Early car advocates genuinely argued that replacing horses with engines would save urban civilization. That framing matters because it tells you something important about how disruptive technologies get adopted. They rarely win on pure novelty. They win by solving a problem that the existing system has made unbearable. Henry Ford understood this. But his real genius was not the car itself. It was the system that built it. Before Ford's moving assembly line, a single automobile took more than 12 hours to assemble by hand. Skilled craftsmen worked on one vehicle at a time, like cabinet makers building furniture. Ford broke that model completely. He brought the work to the worker, not the worker to the work. The result was staggering. Production time collapsed. The key idea here is what that did to price. In 1908, a Model T cost $850. By the 1920s, that same car cost less than $300. Ford had not just built a faster factory. He had built a machine for making cars affordable to the people who made them. That last point is where the $5 day comes in, and it is one of the most strategically brilliant moves in the history of American industry. By 1914, Ford was paying his workers $5 a day. That was nearly double the industry average at the time. Critics called it reckless. Ford called it arithmetic. A workforce that earned more stayed longer, which meant lower turnover and fewer costly training cycles. But the deeper logic was this. Ford's workers were also Ford's customers. A man earning $5 a day could, for the first time, realistically save up and buy the very car he was building. That means the assembly line did not just produce vehicles. It produced a consumer class. It produced the economic engine of the 20th century. The takeaway is sharp, Alina. Ford did not just industrialize manufacturing. He industrialized the middle class, and that shift rippled outward in ways that remade daily life at a fundamental level. Before the car, the average person's world was defined by walking distance or the fixed route of a streetcar. Your job, your market, your church, all of it had to be close. The car broke that radius open. Suddenly, where you lived and where you worked did not have to be the same place. That single change would eventually reshape every city on Earth, pull populations toward suburbs, and restructure the entire geography of work. The automobile was not just a technological replacement for the horse. It was a structural disruption, one that handed ordinary working people a new kind of economic and physical freedom they had never held before. The artisanal, slow, expensive world of hand-built vehicles gave way to the original scale moment of modern industry. And once that scale was achieved, there was no going back. The car had not just solved the manure crisis, it had created the modern world,